Welcome to the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Fine Food Freedom. Fine Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Fine Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to the Find Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so grateful that you are here. For those of you who are new here, I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Fine Food Freedom. And Fine Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors. And our mission is to help you make peace with food and your body. And again, if you're new here, welcome. If you've been here a million times before, welcome back. Again, we are very, very grateful that you are here, and we are grateful most for the virtual connection that the internet and podcasting provides, because we've been able to service people from Egypt to Spain to UK, New Zealand, and of course, Canada, US, all over. But virtual connection is really made this possible for us. So I'm super excited because we have the Find Food Freedom Summer Series that we are doing. And we thought, what a better way to celebrate the summer months than to feature the most downloaded episodes of the Find Food Freedom podcast ever. And some of these episodes have like 6 times the downloads of what we usually get. And it makes sense when I looked at the episodes that really stood out. And, you know, as someone who listens to many podcasts, I think about how when I have a favorite podcast, I don't really go deep into the archives and listen to every single episode that this creator or person has, you know, recorded. And so I thought kind of the same thing for our listeners and for you is like, well, if you're new here, right? Or if you've just started listening, you know, recently, some of our, I don't want to say best episodes, because I think every episode is going to resonate differently with different people, but some of our most listened to or most downloaded episodes were a while back. And I want people to be able to see them and hear them and listen to them and utilize them. And, you know, thinking about how the summer months can be so triggering, honestly, it's very similar to that new year, new you bullshit we hear in January. Summer messaging we often see in the media talks about, you know, fitting into our bikini or getting bikini body ready, or I forget the company that put the ad out for the short shorts this year, but the comment section was hilarious of people being like, what? This ad just totally missed the mark. Anyways, I digress. What I'm trying to say is summer can come, you know, bring up a lot of super triggering messaging around diet culture. And so I wanted to really create this safe space on the Find Food Freedom podcast during the summer months to really dig into body image support and how to feel comfortable in your bathing suit and to talk about if you're gaining weight and comparing yourself to others, or if you're experiencing grief in your body, or just all of these really, really, really nuanced topics. So I'm excited. I'm so excited for this Find Food Freedom summer series on the podcast. Now, when you're listening to these podcast episodes in the coming weeks, if you find that you resonate so deeply and you're like, I need more support, like this podcast is great, it's helping me, I'm resonating with it, but I need more support, I am so thrilled to be able to say that our team of registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors takes health insurance. Most people have no idea that they get coverage or have coverage with their health insurance to meet with a registered dietitian, specifically one on our team. So if you're looking for that support from an intuitive eating, health at every size, weight inclusive lens, you might have full coverage with our team, $0 copay. That means free one-on-one individualized support. And so I would truly say that the majority of people that work with our team had no idea they had this coverage until they got their benefits checked. And so we have such a seamless process for you to check your benefits. So you can go, there's many places you can go. You can go to Instagram where you can, if you're not already following, we would love for you to follow along. And that's find.food.freedom on Instagram. You can click the link in the show notes below, or you can go to findfoodfreedomresources.com to check your benefits. It's a very simple process where you're going to plug in your state that you live in, what insurance provider and plan you have, and we'll know pretty quickly if we accept your insurance. If we do, you're actually going to be able to book with a provider on the spot. Like a scheduler system comes up. You will see our 13 different providers. You'll be able to read their bios, see what they specialize in, see who you would connect with the most, and book your session there. And if you don't get to the scheduling page and you're like, wait, I don't see it, it doesn't mean we don't accept your insurance. It just means it's not an initial match and we might need a little bit more information just based on your plan and the coverage that you have. So again, you can click the link in the show notes or go to findfoodfreedomresources.com to check your insurance benefits and get the support that you so deeply want and need. And again, might have for free. I can't stress this enough. Like, this has been such a privilege and an honor to be able to offer this type of care and make it accessible to the masses and just all the lives that we've gotten to touch. And our providers are so incredible. So please, 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 you have nothing to lose. Go get those insurance benefits checked. And I'm just so grateful that you're here for the Find Food Freedom Summer Series. And let's get into it. One of the most popular, most downloaded episodes in Find Food Freedom podcast history. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Today, we are diving in and talking all about how to find your set point weight range. This is probably one of the hottest topics that I see within the intuitive eating space. And we're going to talk about how even on some people's accounts, I feel like it can be thrown around a little clickbaity and a little like diet culture-y. Even naming this episode, how to find your set point weight range, I was like, oh, I don't really like that, but it is going to answer that question. But I want to just give a full disclaimer before we even get into the episode that this entire podcast is rooted out of the intuitive eating weight neutral range, which what I mean by that is the goal of intuitive eating
the entire purpose, the entire mission is not intentional weight loss. So when you click on a podcast episode that says how to find your set point weight range, I want to make it really clear that this is not about intentional weight loss. And we could kind of just start with like the disclaimer that there is no magic formula to find your set point weight range. So if you see a professional or a air quotes coach online or whoever they are, medical professional, whoever they are, saying do intuitive eating and find your set point weight range, red flag. Red flag, because the purpose of intuitive eating is never intentional weight loss. So we're going to talk about today, like, what is set point theory? Like, what actually is it? What are ways that you can kind of turn inward and recognize, am I above my set point weight range? Am I below it? Where am I? We're going to talk about things that actually affect your set point range and just really all things set point. So I find that this term is becoming more and more popular. It really, like, years ago, I feel like people didn't really talk about it. It was just like, hey, intuitive eating has nothing to do with intentional weight loss, period, end of story. And that was kind of it. Now people are starting to talk about set point theory. And then I almost see it going too far where people are promising that they can help you find this magical range, which that's just not the truth. So, okay, first off, what is set point theory? Okay. What is it? It was developed by William Bennett, MD, and Joel, I believe his name is Gurin. I don't even know how to say his last name, but this was developed back in 1982. So this is not new. This theory was developed a long, long time ago. And it describes how an individual body is genetically programmed to stay within a certain weight range. And typically this weight range is about 10 to 20 pounds, can kind of swing 10 to 20 pounds up or down. And as a person loses weight or gains weight, their body is going to compensate to get back to that comfy range. So this range is, it's this genetic blueprint that we've been given. And we know this, and we're going to talk about this in this episode, how when we look at the determinants of health, genetics and biology account for 22% of what impacts our health. And we know under genetics and biology is our weight and our height and our age and these things that we cannot manipulate. And so we're going to talk about how the range can increase if you've dieted, and there's other things that can cause an increase in our set point weight. But I find it so ironic that most people that diet, if you ask them, why are you dieting? They're dieting to usually intentionally shrink their body. But we know through the research that dieting is one of the number one predictors of weight gain, and that 2/3 of dieters will gain back more weight than they originally lost on the diet. So this whole concept of set point theory, I find it just so ironic that people are dieting, chronically dieting to lose weight, when we know that it actually has the opposite effect for the majority of people. We also know there's zero randomized controlled trials that show sustained weight loss greater than 2 years for any fad diet. So that's important to pull into this conversation as well. So without any external interference, if you will, our bodies will respect the set point range. Now, you may be asking, what is external interference? Great question. Dieting, right? Intentional restriction, cutting things out, counting calories, logging in an app, eating certain portions, cutting out food groups, restricting the times that you're allowed to eat. There's so many things in diet culture that put external interference on this range, because if we were just able to listen to our body's cues and not make choices based on intentionally shrinking our body, then there would be less of that interference. So set point theory is this delicate balance of homeostasis. Our body loves to be in homeostasis, and it only works if we let it. So let's talk about those other interferences, right? Dieting history is one of the biggest interferences. It's one of the biggest disturbances, if you will, of set point theory. But I want to also put a disclaimer on, you do not need to feel guilt or shame if you've dieted. Chances are, if you're listening to the Find Food Freedom podcast, you have dieted before. You've probably dieted for a really long time, and you're curious about, how can I walk away from dieting? How can I make peace with food? So if you have a dieting history, you do not need to feel guilt or shame. But, big but there, I want you to think about, okay, dieting history, having a history of chronic dieting impacts, we know with research, impacts and increases our set point weight range. Can we look at that from a neutral standpoint, not guilt or shame ourselves and say, why did I do that? How could I do that to my body? To just say, okay, that is a point I'm just going to look at from a neutral perspective and say, okay, where can I go from here now that I know this information? Other things that are going to impact our set point weight range, hormonal changes, medical diseases and conditions, aging, heritable traits, as well as genetics. So a lot of the things that impact our set point weight range, we have no control over. And some of you may say, but I had control of dieting. I could have walked away from dieting. We have to give ourselves grace that we only know what we know. And until we learn more, right? Until we know more, we can't change our habits and behaviors. So to give ourselves grace to say, okay, I have the dieting history that I have. I'm going to recognize it. And now I can do better because I know better. I also want to make it very clear that when people listen to this podcast, even though I am a registered dietitian, I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor, it is not my goal to convince people not to diet. I'm simply here to share the information that I know, and you get to make the decision of what you want to do. You have full right to body autonomy. You can listen to this and say, whatever, I don't want to do anything with this information. And that's fine too. But I'm just here to deliver this to you. So please know, if you're on the Whole 30 diet right now, if you're doing keto, if you're fasting, you're welcome here. Like, this isn't about shaming people for dieting. This is about recognizing that if you have chronically dieted for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years of your life, and you don't want to do that anymore, to know that there is another way. If you're recognizing that dieting has harmed you, it has not helped you, it has actually harmed you, and you don't want to do it anymore, there is another way. And so you are welcome here, no matter what diet you're doing or not doing. And you may be like, what? I thought you were anti-dieting. Yes, I am anti-diet culture. I am not anti-human beings who diet. Because 99.99999% of the people that come and get support from our Find Food Freedom team have chronically dieted for years of their life. So it's important to recognize that everybody is welcome here. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about set point. So our body works daily to keep us at our set point weight. And the reason why is because our body loves to be at homeostasis. It loves to stay where it's most comfortable. And so when we try to intentionally lose weight, so AKA going on any diet, our body's system kind of sees this as a threat. I want you to think of like a red flag sounding or like waving inside your body, an alarm going off in your body saying, whoa, 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 something's happening here and I don't like it very much. And so this can trigger a cycle of intentionally losing fat mass, and then the body saying, okay, she's losing too much, he's losing too much, they're losing too much. Okay, now we have to hold on to what we got. It slows the metabolism down because your body doesn't know the difference. If you are on a deserted island and you have no access to food or little access to food, or if you're just sitting in your house chilling and intentionally restricting yourself. So this act of metabolism, our body really loves to conserve and keep us safe. And so Another way to look at this is, if you, have you ever chronically dieted? Chances are, again, the answer to that would be yes, if you're listening to the Find Food Freedom podcast. So if you've chronically dieted, and what I mean by that is you've gone on a diet, off a diet, on a diet, off a diet, and you've noticed that you've intentionally lost weight and maintained it for maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months. And then when you came off of that diet, you not only gained back the weight that you lost on the diet, but you also gained back more weight. So you lost weight, gained back weight, gained back more weight. And often I find with people who chronically diet, they internalize this as shame, as like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I maintain this? Why am I such a bad person? What am I doing wrong? Why am I a failure? But I'm here to tell you that this is conclusive with the research. And I believe I shared this already earlier. As I said, 2/3 of dieters will gain back more weight than they originally lost on the diet. Now, oftentimes people think, there's something wrong with me, right? I'm the failure. I'm the one that's fucked up or doing this wrong. And I'm here to tell you, no, this is like, if anything, I almost want to like congratulate you if this has happened to you and you're like, what the fuck? Why are you congratulating me? I didn't want this to happen, because it means that your body is working properly. If you have gained back more weight after intentional restriction, intentional weight loss, your body is working properly. And so I often find if we can just shift our intention to be like, whoa, my body's trying to keep me safe. My body's trying to work with me. This whole time I thought there was something wrong with my body, but really my body and my metabolism and everything is actually trying to work with me. And so it's really, really important to recognize this. Is if you have gained back weight, there's nothing wrong with you. This is totally, totally, totally normal. And I also want to just, even if it's not related to dieting, so I'm going on this whole dieting rant right now. Something I failed to mention in the beginning is that we do not get to choose our set point weight. Some of you may be listening to this and be like, oh, well, you know, I really think my set point weight is X, whatever X is. We don't get to pick our set point weight. We don't get to say, okay, this is the range that my body wants to be at. No, our bodies determine that. And I'm here to tell you that body sizes, bodies in general, are diverse. They're meant to be diverse. They're going to ebb and flow and change through our entire life. And so we don't get to choose where our set point weight is. Our body gets to determine that. And bodies are meant to be different sizes, and we don't get to pick what size our body is at. And so this could be like a whole nother episode, and I will do another one on fat phobia and just the fat phobic belief systems that we hold as a society and individually, and how fat phobia affects set point theory and how we view set point theory and chronic dieting. But I just wanted to make that statement as it came top of mind as we're kind of going through today's information as well. So I kind of started this episode off and saying, so how do you find your set point? Why do you want to know your set point weight? So when people ask me, how do I find it? Instead of going into some of the questions of how we know we're above or below, I want you to go into why. Do I want to know my set point weight? And you might be saying, well, Sammy, you're dancing around the question. You're not getting to what I want. And I promise we'll get there. We're going to go through these questions that I promise we'll get to. But if you're saying, no, I want to know how to find my set point, well, I want you to start with, why do you want to know your set point? And these are the questions that I want you to ask yourself. Are you comfortable at your current weight? And I mean this from two different standpoints. I mean this from, are you feeling discomfort? Are you feeling uncomfortable, like physically in your body? And or are you feeling emotionally unpleasant or emotional discomfort? So what I mean by that is, are you feeling guilt or shame for your body size? So I often find that people be like, yeah, I want to know my set point weight because I'm not comfortable. And if I just lose weight, then I'll be comfortable. But I'm here to tell you that all size bodies experience discomfort in their body. So somebody can reside in a thin body or a straight size body or a smaller body, and they can still feel pain. They can still have injuries. They can still have back pain. They can still have shortness of breath. They can still have all of these things that I often find is scapegoated to a larger body size. Are you fearing weight gain? So a lot of times people say, oh, I really want to know my set point weight. And it's like, okay, do we want to know our set point weight just because we're afraid of gaining weight? We're afraid of weight gain. So it's like, well, I just really want to know this weight range because I'd be a little bit more comfy here. And are you hoping that you will lose weight? I'm going to use air quotes, naturally, if you do intuitive eating. So often find I hear people say like, okay, I just want to know my set point weight because I think if I know it, then I can kind of alter my intuitive eating journey and hopefully I'll be one of the lucky ones, heavy air quotes, that loses weight. So if you're saying, how do I find it? But then you find yourself saying, I'm uncomfortable. I'm fearing weight gain. I hope I'm the lucky one to lose weight. Ask yourself, why? Why do you want to know this? Get curious about the why. And this is a great place to really dig in deeper and to uncover some of your beliefs about body size, about fat phobia. Do you hold the belief systems that thinner bodies are better bodies and fatter bodies are worse and lazy and terrible? Because if you hold these belief systems, it doesn't matter what your set point weight range is. If you truly believe that thinner bodies are better and larger bodies are worse, knowing your set point, it holds no value. And I invite you to turn inward and challenge those belief systems instead. Remembering that the purpose of intuitive eating is to trust that our body knows what it wants and needs. And I find that people think, well, if I just know my set point, I'll feel more comfortable starting an intuitive eating journey. And I get that because if you've dieted for 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, then it's everything we've done has been, how do I shrink my body? How do I get to a smaller body? How do I lose weight? So it's going to feel really uncomfortable not using scale values, right? Not using numbers to equate your worth or your health. But I promise you that you can get to there. Remembering that bodies ebb and flow and they're going to continue to do so throughout our entire life. And friendly reminder that if any professional online or anywhere or any coach you see is promoting this message of intuitive eating and set how to find your set point weight or your happy weight, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. And so getting curious about why do I want to know my set point weight range? What is that going to give me? What is that going to tell me? How is that going to serve me? So now let's get to those questions. If you're like, okay, I get it. I need to question my beliefs. I need to look at, you know, my fat phobia that is internalized inside of me. We all have fat phobic beliefs just based on the society we grow up in, no matter what size body we are in. On the fat phobia note, I will definitely do another. We have a couple podcasts on this, but I want to go much deeper on this. But just for this sake of this podcast, I invite you to go listen to Vinnie Wellesby is a wonderful TED Talk speaker, advocate, weight bias coach. So you can go to Vinnie Wellesby's Instagram. Their Instagram account is fierce.fatty. Again, that is Vinnie Wellesby. They dedicate their entire life to doing this work on dismantling fat phobia. And Vinnie is somebody that we brought into the practice to help educate our team because we're registered dietitians. We're certified intuitive eating counselors. Although that obviously we have to be educated in fat phobia, we had to get additional education and certifications and just unlearning. So Vinnie is who our team has turned to. A lot of our membership resources, a lot of our clients at Find Food Freedom, we have extra resources on the back from Vinnie that we've paid Vinnie for our clients to have that information as well. So I just kind of want to give that as a little thought bubble as a little side note that if you're like, okay, I'm more interested in like dismantling fat phobia right now, I don't want to talk about set point weight or set point weight range, please again, go over to fierce.fatty on Instagram. And again, that's Vinny Wellsby, and their account is dedicated to weight bias, fat phobia, dismantling all of that. So I just want to give that resource because that popped into my head. And I think it is just an invaluable resource, Vinny's entire page. All right, so let's look at if you're someone that's like, I just want to know, am I above my set point? Am I below my set point? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some statements off. And first, I'm going to start with, are you above your set point? And this is not to tell you that if you are above your set point, that if you do intuitive eating, you're just going to magically go below it. No. I will say one of the things we find in the intuitive eating research is that weight starts to normalize. So if you are a chronic yo-yo dieter, somebody that goes up and down and up and down on the scales, once we become an intuitive eater, we do find very conclusive with the research that the weight just starts to normalize. Do we get to pick what that weight is? No, but weight changes tend to decrease and we tend to stay very consistent. So if you're someone who's like, I think I'm above my set point, what I want you to do right now, pull out a journal, pull out your phone notes, and just, you could write a why, like for yes, if you feel like, okay, I'm going to listen to Sammy say these statements. And after each statement, I want you to just write a why, like, yes, this applies to me. And this is going to help you recognize, like, are you above your set point? So I'm going to read these directly from the research of some of the questions that we use when we're assessing set point with a client, if they're at a place in their journey that we can start to discuss this from a weight neutral standpoint. All right, here we go. Do you have difficulty recognizing when you're hungry and when you've had enough? Next statement, do you routinely eat beyond a comfortable level of fullness, feel lethargic, stuffed, and uncomfortable after meals? Next statement, do you go through periods where you eat out of control, anticipating that you will soon start a diet or restrict food? Again, just write down yes or no, or you could write a Y or an N. Next statement, do you feel in an effort Or excuse me, do you skip meals in an effort to lose weight and then overeat because you feel so hungry? So this would be like, do you specifically restrict because you're trying to shrink the size of your body, but then that leads to that out of control kind of binge feeling around food because you're so freaking hungry? So you can write yes or no for that. Next statement, do you skip meals to save up for the big feast? So do you find yourself at events or holidays or parties or vacations trying to, air quotes, be good and kind of, you know, cut out or restrict or intentionally diet to save up to be able to go out of control, kind of balls to the walls for a big feast? Next statement, do you often eat as a coping mechanism? For example, if you're tired, if you're angry, if you're nervous, how about killing time when you're bored? So is food one of your only coping mechanisms that you turn to? Yes or no? Next statement, do you often feel guilty about some of the foods that you eat or the entire amount of food that you eat in one sitting? Next statement, if you overeat, do you figure you've, air quotes, blown your diet and you kind of say, fuck it, and end up eating even more? So if you're like, you were following food rules and then you break that food rule and you're like, you know what? Screw it. I already broke it. I'm just going to go crazy right now and eat all of the things because come tomorrow, I can't eat this food anymore. Do you often eat quickly without taking time to focus on the taste of your food, savor it, enjoy it? Do you feel like you fluctuate between these periods of sensible, nutrient dense eating and then feeling out of control? So again, kind of back to that yo-yo, do you feel that going on? Yes or no? So if you found that all of the statements that I just read to you, you were like, yes, 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 that is a good indication with our research that we know on set point theory that you probably reside above your set point. Now, what does this information mean? It's neutral. We're weight neutral in the intuitive eating paradigm. Do you even need to know this information? Probably not. But the reason why I give this is because there's so many people out there saying how to get to your set point. What if we could just be neutral and be like, okay, I wrote yes to a lot of these things. What would my life look like? What would it feel like if I actually said no to a lot of these things? What if we uncoupled it from changing your body? And what if everything that I just read to you, you would have wrote no, doesn't apply to me, no. Well, that might feel really pleasant in the body. And not because we're intentionally trying to shrink our body, but because a lot of the things I read, that doesn't feel pleasant, right? And that comes back to intuitive eating. When we're able to listen to our body's cues, really discover our satiety cues and what satisfies us, respect our fullness, find coping mechanisms in addition to food that feel pleasant. All of these things, do they affect our set point to an extent? Yes, but huge but, we can work on them uncoupled from changing our body, because it is so important to remember that the point of intuitive eating, the mission of intuitive eating, is not intentional weight loss. So if you're somebody who's listening to this episode and you're like, well, what if I'm below my set point? Am I below my set point? If you are below your set point, these are some things I'm going to read off. And I want you to, just like we did before, you can write yes or no. Like if this applies to you, if the statement applies to you. So yes or no, you're often cold, feeling cold, like body temperature cold. Next statement, you feel like you're constantly preoccupied with food and often feel desperately hungry, like nonstop obsession with food. Next statement, you wake up with an overwhelming urge to eat. Like it's like you wake up and you're like, get me to food right now. I can't think about anything else. Next statement, you have difficulty sleeping because there is this gnawing hunger feeling. It's hard to sleep. It's hard to even rest your eyes because you're just constantly thinking, I need food, I need food, I need food. Next statement, you have a very low sex drive. Like libido is non-existent. And next statement, for females, you have very infrequent periods or you skip them entirely and your cycle is very, very out of whack. So again, this is from a weight neutral standpoint of saying, if you were like, yes, 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 to a lot of these, we find that this could be a sign of being below your set point range. So this doesn't mean that the goal is fix all of these things and you're going to gain weight and you're going to get to where you need to be. But often looking at, okay, if I'm experiencing a lot of these things, uncoupled from changing my body, can I start to work on or explore what it would look like to nourish myself a little more, to watch the thoughts and feelings of food dissipate because I'm not obsessed with it, because I'm adequately fueling my body? And so although this discussion is around set point weight, it comes back to recognizing that the sole purpose of intuitive eating is not intentional weight loss. We are not looking at our set point range to say, how do I get into this perfect little box that's genetically predetermined? But to say, how can I feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant and understand weight science and use this as a tool, understanding weight science and education as a tool instead of a rule. Who knew I could rhyme? But a tool instead of a rule to keep you in this dieting cycle of shrinking your body or trying to intentionally shrink your body, which we've been doing for 20 plus years. So I invite you, as we kind of go out on this topic here, to think about, what has my relationship with dieting looked like? How many years have I been trying to intentionally shrink my body? And if you're someone who's like, almost my entire life, give yourself grace. Understand that you do not need to do anything with this information, but to just observe it and to recognize that that is going to have an effect on this set point weight range, but instead of saying, how do I get into this set point range? What if we could shift that to, why do I care what my set point weight range is? Because we know that weight is genetically predetermined by our genetics and biology. And so most people, when they chronically diet, they're trying to do two things. They're trying to intentionally shrink their body, or they're thinking, if I just get in a smaller body, I will love myself, or that I will improve my health. Well, we know with the determinants of health that we have so many individual behaviors that we can work on that help genuinely improve our health. So I'm talking variety of foods that we consume, hydration, sleep patterns, stress management, so much movement that we enjoy. All of these things that I just named are individual behaviors that we can work on, uncoupled from changing our body. So if you're someone coming into this conversation saying, I need to lose weight because I need to improve my health, I'm here to tell you that there's another way. So again, as I say the determinants of health, I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, we need another episode that we could go off in a tangent on just the determinants of health. And we do have one very, very far back in the beginning episodes called The Truth Behind Weight and Health. So you can always revisit that episode, but we could always do an updated one as well. So I just want to thank you so much for being here, so much for staying curious, and just knowing that your life, your mission, your purpose is so much more than chasing a smaller body. And if you found this helpful and you're like, I need more resources, you're speaking to me, I need help, I need support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. Again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com. There you're going to find free trainings. You're going to find our monthly masterclass and membership. You're going to find an application to get more support. If you want group coaching, one-on-one coaching, you want to work with our team, you want that professional support, we are here for you. So again, you can head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please just take a few seconds, head over, give us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and let us know what you want to hear more of. If you loved this episode, or any honest feedback, if you hated this episode, please leave us some feedback. And then in that review, let us know what you want to hear more of, because we want to keep giving you episodes. They're going to help you. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or findfoodfreedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.